Hi there, Matt here again from the Equestrian Athlete Plan. Great to be with you again. Tonight I'm going to take you through, you know, why you'll be assessing and not guessing your core, okay? So in this chapter, you're going to be shown how to, or I'm going to tell you now, how to assess your core and how the results, and know how the results are going to actually affect you and, the most importantly, what you can do about it, okay? Now, the chapter also outlines some key principles you need to adhere to, and I will illustrate to you why sit-ups are banned from this moment onwards, okay? Not only will you know this, but you'll also find out why the generic gym classes that you have been doing, or may have done, or may have heard about, or friends may have done, that just haven't really cut it, okay? So what you need is, okay, is a sort of feeling of a bulletproof core. Now, far too often, equestrian athletes are getting lower back pain, okay? And the big mistake that many people make initially is to sort of lift weights or do core exercises that are just far too demanding for them, basically, and require a higher skill level than they currently have. In the quest to build a stronger core, they'll generally go flying out of the start box, chasing the picture they've seen on the front of the latest magazine, okay? Now, within the Equestrian Athlete Plan, we'll be concentrating largely on stability in the early phase of training, okay? Making sure that all the small muscles are activated and fully engaged, keeping your pelvis and spine in that neutral position, okay? You'll also move to a core conditioning phase where you will place demands on the core to switch on and provide support when it becomes fatigued, okay? This is also known as muscular endurance training. Finally, you will move to a strengthening phase during the program where you'll increase the loading demand on your core and ultimately using the new core strength when you're breathing hard, just like in your event. The exercises will address all areas of the core, not just the front, okay? This is a common mistake that many members of the general public and also equestrian athletes up to now have made. Okay, we will be focusing on exercises that create a strong core from the inside out, okay, not just the superficial show muscles, okay. Now, a mixture of fixation, lateral flexion, which is just to the side, okay, forward flexion, which is to the front, extension and rotation will give you the riding fit core that you need, okay. Now, you'll be training for go, not for show. Okay, now those who go well do generally show well. Okay, and what do I mean by this? Now, basically, I mean that if you train your body in a way that's actually going to make you perform better, you will actually show better anyway. Those who just tend to train for show don't always, you know, go that well. All right. Now, you've probably seen this in your horse as well. Now, if the horse is being trained well, it will also have a great top line and its coat will shine, okay, as a result of a good quality nutrition. Okay, so the same goes for you. Train well and eat well and you'll go well. Okay. Now, sit-ups are ruining your seat, okay? Stop doing sit-ups. Why? Every time you do a sit-up, okay, if you've got this anterior tilt already, okay, you activate your hip flexors more so, okay? Remember that these muscles are the ones that pull the upper thigh closer to the body, okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with training these muscles to do exactly that, but when it comes to training the abdominal muscles for improved posture, function, and ultimately a flatter stomach, there's far more effective exercise, okay? The pull of tighter, overactive hip flexors as a result of too many sit-ups results in a pull forward of the pelvis, okay? Now, this can be compared to emptying the contents of your torso onto the floor. Almost as if you're emptying the bucket of water that you washed your car with, okay? Just tipping it right out of the front. Now, this in turn means that now your glutes, okay, have become underactive. These muscles work in pairs, okay? And the big problem for the equestrian athlete here is because these muscles are a big group that require lots of energy to perform many whole body exercises, they are crucial in keeping a strong and healthy back, okay? Now, if the gluteal muscles, okay, aren't working, then you're reducing the quality of your workout, okay? You're basically having to work out for longer to get the same results, or you're not getting the same results in the time that somebody else is doing because their glutes are working, okay? Now, imagine if you hadn't signed up for the aggression athlete, right? You could have gone off and done all those sit-ups. Your pelvic alignment would have been further affected by the over and underactive muscles you've created. But worst of all, you know, your seat wouldn't have improved, your back pain may have worsened, and your stomach might have looked bigger. Okay, not a great combination, really. So good job you got yourself onto the Equestrian Athlete Plan. Added to this, you got the compressive forces placed on the lower back through performing multiple sit-ups, okay, and you actually run the risk of a repetitive strain injury through overused muscles and poor body mechanics, okay? Now, the reason we do assessment is so that we're not guessing, okay? Now, I would look at your posture, okay, as you would look at your horses. Start from the ground up and consider the saying, no foot, no horse. This is so true for you as well. If your foundations and the pillar of your strength is weakened, then you'll always struggle to get that riding fit body that you deserve, okay? I've designed the program in such a way that you will work on your posture integrated within the program to correct imbalances. So for this reason, it is extremely important that you complete all the exercises and don't sort of pick and choose the ones you like. Sort of a common thing that you'll find, most people do the ones they like more than the other ones, okay? Now, here is exactly how I want you to assess your posture, okay? I want you to wear a pair of shorts and a sports bra if you're female, okay? Or just go topless if you're a guy. I would like you to be barefoot for the whole posture assessment. Remember that this assessment is subjective and is performed at home by yourself. So if you'd like a more detailed assessment, you should seek the advice of a well-trained exercise professional, okay? Now, there is a video to go with this assessment process in the video links section of the training manual, okay? Right, first one you're going to do, wall standing test. So here I want you to stand against the wall, heels touching the wall. Now place one hand directly in the natural curve of your lumbar spine, the lower back, with the palm facing the wall, okay? Which of these best describes how your hand feels in the curve of your lower back, okay? Does the widest part of your hand fit into the gap with the palm lightly touching both the wall and lower back? Number two, does the hand feel squashed against the wall and lower back? Okay, or does the hand feel like it has daylight between itself and the wall? Okay, if the answer is number one, that's great. Your pelvis is in a neutral position. Okay, so if the widest hand of your hand fits into the gap with the palm lightly touching both the wall and the lower back, then your pelvis is more than likely in a neutral position. If, however, it's best described by number two, then it's likely you've got a posterior tilt, okay? If you feel like your hand's squashed against the wall. If you find yourself at number three, you're likely to have an anterior tilt of the pelvis. Now, this is like many equestrian athletes that I've ever met, okay? Whichever one it is, don't worry. The equestrian athlete plan will create balance for you, okay? And help you to get the most out of your horse. Second exercise I want you to do, stand yourself in front of a mirror, okay? I want you to firstly look at the arches of your feet, okay? Stand in the full length mirror. Stand with the feet square and look at the feet. What is it that you see about your in the arches of your feet? Do they fall in? Okay. If not, do they roll out? Are you more on the outside of your foot? And now what I want you to do is actually just to imagine or actually get one of your thumbs and see if you can place it underneath the arch of your foot. Okay. If not, don't worry, we'll be working on the glute heels, okay, and we will, you know, if you feel like your thumb's being squashed, we will be stretching out your calves to make sure that this doesn't actually affect your hips any longer now, okay? So if your feet are falling in, okay, it is really about working those glutes, okay? Next up, I want you to check the alignment of your pelvis, okay? I want you to feel the two bony processes at the front of the hip, otherwise known as the anterior superior iliac spine, ASIS process, okay? I want you to decide whether or not these two are level. Now, I want you to feel for the posterior part of the superior iliac spine, the PSIS. Now, this is the highest point in the back of the pelvis. So place the index finger on the front part of your pelvis and the thumb on the back part. Okay, are these level? Okay, or is one higher than the other? If they're level, that's fantastic. Again, if not, don't panic. I do see this quite commonly with equestrian athletes when they come in for their first assessment. So it is easily addressed through specific mobility and stability exercises that I've got already put in the plan for you. Okay. The main issue with having an imbalanced pelvis is that the equestrian athlete will tend to have an uneven weight distribution in their seat, tend to put more pressure through one stirrup, okay, causing the horse to favour one side. Okay, the next one I want you to do, okay, the test is called thumb and one. Okay, now I want you to have a look at your hand. So you're still in the mirror, facing the mirror. What can you see? Okay, you just stood with your arms by your side. Can you only see your thumb and your index finger? Okay, your first finger. Or can you see more? Can you see the thumb, the first finger, and the second finger? Or even the back of the hand? Okay, now, the more of the hand you can see, the more internal rotation you've got of the shoulder, okay? Now, don't worry about what the result is. Just make a note now, and just so you know exactly where you are. Perhaps take a picture, okay? Or get someone else to take a picture, because you won't be able to do it by yourself. If you can see more than the thumb and first finger, you do no doubt have internal shoulder rotation, which is typically described as rounded shoulders, okay? By having rounded shoulders, this will affect your posture, and particularly when you get tired, it will give you that like really rounded posture that you've seen before, okay? The program has plenty of exercise within it that will alleviate these issues and aim to stabilise the shoulder blades into a position that are going to give you great posture both in and out of the saddle. Okay, next one is nice and simple, shoulders, okay? Simply, is one shoulder higher than the other? Okay, if not, that's fantastic, let's keep it that way. Then, once again, don't panic if they are not level, okay, we can stretch out the neck muscles, because if one is elevated, okay, it's very likely that that side needs some stretching, okay, and releasing. If one is dropped, then it may be that that side needs a little bit of strengthening as well, okay? So I provided you with a video of all the post-workout stretches I want you to do, and that will help you to get, you know, get that ride and fit body you're looking for, okay? So moving on from the actual assessment itself, assessing will improve your longevity in the saddle, okay? Poor posture and alignment and muscle imbalances are the result of poor use, okay? This causes misalignment of joints and tissues and will actually lead to energy leakage, injury, and subsequently poor performances on and off the horse, okay? Now, when poor postures are adopted, abnormal loads are placed on joints. Okay, just makes sense, really. If you've got things in the wrong place, there's going to be abnormal loads in other places, okay? Not just the joints, the muscles, and the connective tissues as well, which can actually manifest itself as pain, particularly in the lower back area, okay? Your muscles actually act to pump fluid through your body, and poor posture often leads to your muscles not being able to pump these fluids around the body, okay? You'll also find that you've got some tight muscles, okay? Now, these ones, you know, from sitting down, if you've got a desk job, okay, tend to be the upper trapezius muscles, okay? The ones that you use to shrug your shoulders. Now, these are often extremely tight, and anyone who spends their day, you know, sat down and under any sort of stress, okay? When someone's stressed, they'll generally get very tight muscles there, okay? Opposite to these tight muscles are going to be the ones that will come long and weak, okay? Now, typically, for aggression athletes, this tends to be glutes, because they become elongated and lazy through their sitting lifestyle, okay? And this will cause other muscles to, you know, sort of work hard to make up for their laziness. Having a good posture, on the other hand, also helps to keep the muscles in balance and keep good body alignment, good alignment, okay? This will help you to really function in the most efficient manner. Typically, you'll see the rounded shoulders, the tight hips, the weak glutes, the tight lower backs, okay? These are issues due to their work and their riding, but also activities of day life, sitting down at work, sitting in the car, seated on the horse, okay, so regardless of what position, whatever discipline of equestrianism, if you like, you're competing in, does have a massive impact on the way your body looks, feels, and performs, okay? They actually foster poor posture, all those things I mentioned earlier, okay, which leads to inefficient performances every day, okay? So think of your posture as the chassis of your car. If the chassis is damaged, the car doesn't drive right, okay? It uses more fuel, becomes more prone to breaking down, and it will eventually break. In this case, the equestrian athlete, if your posture is poor, you'll become fatigued quickly. Your movements patterns soon become poor, leading to compensations from other muscles. Subsequently, injury will follow, and eventually, your body tells that it's time to stop doing what you're doing, and you know, basically, it will stop you from riding, okay? It's natural protection mode, okay? For some equestrian athletes, this will actually happen quite early on in an event, or it'll actually happen at the end when they're most fatigued. Perhaps to sort of explain your posture more like comparing it to a lame horse. If your horse has an abscess and you head out for a ride, the horse will not be sound, and the ride or event will soon end, and you'll be heading home. Okay, same applies to you and your posture. If your posture is not optimal, then the other components will be stressed out and break. Okay. Now, during the equestrian athlete plan, you will be performing specific movement patterns to help increase mobility, hip mobility particularly, and bring about the seated posture, okay? Bring you out of that. Included in the movements will bring your shoulders back and get rid of the roundness that you may have right now, okay? As well as some specific work to make sure that your glutes are firing up properly, okay, to, you know, give you that really... You'll be able to ride, you'll be able to get more impulsion, okay, because you're getting more work through the glutes, okay? Now, assessing your posture is essential to improving your performance and longevity in the saddle, and basically, who wouldn't want that, okay? So just take a check on your posture at the start of the programme, and then you know you're assessing and not guessing, okay? By assessing, okay, I always use this with my equestrian athletes back at the studio. This allows me to lay out the process, okay, for the equestrian athlete, lay out the process you're going to go through, okay, before you begin your quest to get that ride and fit body in the very best way you can. Now, there is a mixture of static and dynamic tests that you will allow you to measure your success throughout the program, okay. Included in this are inner range holds, okay, that will identify the weakness of a certain joint and structures, And dynamic movements that will allow you to see how your body moves when you perform in really basic movement patterns. Okay, so I strongly advise that you take pictures of yourself at the start of this, as it's a fantastic tool come the end of the program to see how you've, you know, how you've changed. You won't believe your eyes. Okay, it's also another way of measuring your success and keeping yourself accountable. Okay, so the generic exercise programs that you may have followed before may have left you in a situation where you're essentially left firing your cannon from the canoe. Okay. By this I mean that, you know, they gave you kind of strength, but they didn't give you your, you know, the core, you know, the pillar of your strength. Okay, it was unstable, so they didn't give you that strength to even fire it. So I wouldn't mind betting that, you know, they would have been sort of very little in terms of sort of progression and specificity in that sense. Okay, they basically, you know, had you throwing something that you know you can't handle. Okay, don't forget that your core is what's holding you on. Okay, so. Does this program involve sit-ups? No. Okay. To get a strong core that is actually beneficial to your performance and health, believe me, they're far more effective exercises. Okay. Remember that your core is the musculature that connects your upper body and lower body, and helps you to serves to stabilise and control the area between your ribs and knees. Okay. Specifically covering your lumbar spine and your hips. Okay. Because of what and where it is, the core is responsible for linking movements that involve the upper and lower body working together, which is so important when you get tired at the end of your event. Okay, if your core isn't strong and stable enough, it won't sufficiently and effectively enable you to transfer that power that you've already got. Okay, so many equestrian athletes and their instructors and coaches feel that this is the major limiting factor in their rider's success, or their success is, you know, through the athlete's strength and pulsion in a seat position. Okay, just down to the sort of major muscles involved in these positions, such as your latissimus dorsi, the big back muscle. Okay. One of my mentors and sort of world-renowned strength and conditioning coach, Juan Carlos Santana, provided a sort of an excellent example of this in his book, and of the essence of program design, okay, where he actually explains how your latissimus dorsi connect, okay, so that big back muscle that's sort of underneath your armpit, okay, connect to the back of your upper arm and right down to the top of your hip, okay. Now, if the lats are pulling on an unstable core, okay, so because these lats are strong, remember, they're going to pull the hip into a, you know, into an unnatural position, if you like, okay? But more than that, if it's not there, if the core strength's not there, then the hips are actually going to inhibit the movement of the lats, okay? So they're not going to work either, all right? So the two kind of go hand in hand. So whilst the hips are weak, the lats can't do their job properly, and if the lats are too strong and the hips are weak, then they're going to pull the hips out of place. Okay, so in other words, they won't work as hard or efficiently as they're supposed to. Okay, so in this program, there are no sit-ups. Okay, these are largely ineffective core training and exercises for the equestrian athlete, and would further add to poor postures generally sort of adopted in the later stages of the cross country or race riding. And that's just to name a couple, as well as the effect that predominantly riding has on the shape and look of your body, sort of rounded shoulders and excessively arched lower back. Okay, so you'll be training in the core in a way that needs to be trained to ensure that you are able to generate the movements of the equestrian sport efficiently and effectively. Okay, in terms of the training, the rotational elements of the sport, okay, the program will focus on something called the Serapi effect. Okay, now without going into masses of detail, this concept basically serves to emphasize the point that the muscles of the core are connectors, okay, connecting the upper body and the lower body, okay? The Serapi effect comes from the sort of scarf-like garment worn by natives in South America and Mexico, okay, which basically draped around the neck and shoulders, crosses near the waist, okay, into the belt area. Now, the anatomical design of the body actually demonstrates that the rotational force production relationship between the hip and the shoulder. Okay, so you've got basically left hip, right shoulder, and right hip, left shoulder. Okay, now that crossing over is how we get our rotational power. All right, and that's why we must train as an equestrian athlete in that movement pattern. Otherwise, when we go to rotate, then we're basically, you know, we're not actually designed, if you like, or we are designed, but we're not actually providing ourselves with the best possibilities of being as strong as possible in that rotational, and that happens all the time. In equestrian sports. Okay, so that's why really the sort of generic fitness is really a thing of the past now for the Gresham Athlete, sort of leaves them, you know, their sort of posture like a sack of potatoes, really, at the end of their ride when they're feeling really tired and they've just trained a generic way. Okay, so, you know, that's really why you need to assess your core and what it is you're going to be doing and why you're not doing sit-ups. Okay, so that's a great little chapter there. And who would have thought that, you know, the scarf, the way in which the Mexican wore it, would explain so much away about the way we operate as human beings. Okay, so that link between the sort of right hip and left shoulder. Okay, now hopefully you can sort of fully appreciate why the generic exercises just don't suit the Gresham athlete, and the assessment is a vital tool. And that's addressing how to work on our weaknesses and increase our longevity in the saddle. And you know, who wouldn't want that? Okay, so that's the end of the sort of assessment, okay, and abdominal section of the book. Okay, and I'm going to be coming to you really soon with how to create your saddle strong back. All right, so your back, get your back strength. Okay, so looking forward to speaking to you again soon. And you know, take your time to have a read through this chapter again. Okay, take care.